Not sure what happened.
I don't know if you've been noticing, but we've had that issue today with overhead stuff. So Mike, continue to hang on there. All right, I'm not sure what's going on. God is indeed holy, worthy of all things we give Him. His glory shines through us and moves in us, and that's what helps us to rebuild and to make life. Comedian from England, Jeremy K. Jeremy, made this statement. He said, work, I love it. It fascinates me. I can sit for hours and watch it. We all know people like that, don't we? I think we know that life is not a spectator sport. We have to participate. Now, we all know there are some that do not want to take responsibility for their lives. We know that there are some people that just kind of want to coast through things and just kind of let it happen as it will. And then we also know some folks on the other side that they're so involved even in your life that they can tell you everything that needs to be fixed, how to fix it, when to fix it. They can tell you to fix things you didn't even know were wrong in your life. You know. But when it comes to working and doing with things with God, He's the one we have to listen to. And when there's things in our life that need working on, we have to do it. It's up to us. Now, it does not mean that we do not need to include others or invite others in helping us build or rebuild things in our life. In the Old Testament, we find this guy by the name of Nehemiah. He has been charged really by God because God laid this great burden upon him to go back to his homeland, Jerusalem area, Judea, and rebuild the walls surrounding the city. As he arrived, he had God's plan, and he soon realizes that if it's going to happen, he's going to have to surround himself with the right people. Today, as we look into Nehemiah's life, we're going to see that when we have the great plan of God, then we just need to begin to do the work in the plan of God. We just need to get it started and get going. And Nehemiah does this. Because as he begins to work the plan that God gave to him, the walls begin to go up. They begin really to go up in record time. So turn in your Bibles, if you would. Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah chapter 3, we're only going to read a few verses of this chapter, beginning verse 1. If you're using a Bible in the back of the pew in front of you, you can turn to page 353 in that book, and you should be able to find Nehemiah chapter 3, and you can find verse 1. Nehemiah, he has ushered the call to the folks, let's rebuild. It's time to rebuild the city. And now comes the hard part, the actual rebuilding. It's time to get started, kind of start trying to get working in things. And it begins to work. Again, the walls begin to go up. It's here that we find, I think, the secret to building and rebuilding. Here's the secret. Nehemiah is going to lay for us the secret to how he was successful in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. It's the same success tactic we need to have if we're going to build and rebuild in our own lives. And here it is. We find the plan of God and we work the plan of God. That's it. That's the secret. If we're going to be successful with our lives as individuals, if we're going to be successful with lives as a family, if we're going to be successful with lives in the church, it's going to be because we find God's plan and we work God's plan. Read with me. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1. Now I'm going to forewarn you. This is name challenge day, all right? It's already started with our prayer time. It's going to continue on as we read through Nehemiah here, all right? So just bear with me as we read through these unique Hebrew words and names. Then Eliasib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priest, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Eri, built. The sons of Hassenahah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors and its bolts and its bars. And next to them were Miramoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakazah, the repaired. And next to them was Meshulam, the son of Berchia, son of Meshezabel, repaired. Yeah, easy for you to say, right? And next to them, Zadok, the son of Baanah, repaired. And next to them, the Tokiites repaired, but the nobles would not stoop to serve their lord. Jehoiada, the son of Pashah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Bashadiah, repaired the gate of Yeshuan, and they laid its beams and set its doors and its bolts and its bars. We'll stop there and not go through all the rest of the names there. So what's going on in this chapter? With all these names and who's doing what, what's going on? You know, there are parts of the Bible sometimes when we get to them and we start to read that we kind of want to skim through them real quickly or just pass through them. This chapter is one of them because there's just so many names. You know, when we get to the begots, you know, so-and-so begat, so-and-so, and so-and-so begat, we kind of read through those quickly. But every now and then, we really need to slow down and observe and see what's going on with them. So we need to see what's happening here with Nehemiah and what Nehemiah was up to. If you kind of read through the chapters, there's like 38 different people that are mentioned by name and 42 different groups or family groups that are mentioned. There's also a whole host of other folks that were not mentioned. They're kind of anonymous, but everyone here is important. So why are they important? Because they were given an assignment and they were expected to carry out that assignment. Otherwise, the walls were not going to go up. They were going to still struggle. They were going to still live in shame. They were going to not show the glory of God in their life. So this is one of the things that we need to latch on to. In rebuilding, we need to learn to enlist and delegate. Catch that? Rebuilding happens when we enlist and delegate things of our lives. Now, one of the more surprising things here that we find about Nehemiah is that he pulled these people in, just knowing them for a short time, and he trusted them. He encouraged them. He needed them. Otherwise, he knew nothing was going to get done. Nothing was going to change. The walls weren't going to be built. The rubbish, the trash laying around the cities was going to stay there. Nothing was going to happen. Through Nehemiah, there are different leadership positions or leadership lessons that we learn. This leadership lesson here that we learn from Nehemiah really applies to us personally as well. And this is kind of it. We're never going to accomplish all we think we can accomplish or all that God wants us to accomplish. We're not going to ever to be all that God wants us to be unless we learn this art of delegating responsibilities. We can't do everything. We can't do everything even in our own lives. So we have to learn this art of delegating. Otherwise, we're never going to be able to accomplish everything that God wants us to accomplish. We're certainly not going to be able to be everything that God wants us to be. Now, there's this, take note of something first about delegation here. Delegation is not dictating. And delegation is not advocating. There's a balance here between the two of sorts. It's getting the right people doing the right thing and then trusting them to do it. Now, a word of caution about delegation as well. It is possible to delegate too much away. You cannot delegate your own personal responsibilities away. All right? You cannot tell someone else this. You have to deal with your own mess. It's kind of how we term this. You can't blame someone else for the predicament of your life. You can't advocate those things away. You can't say it's somebody else's fault. There are certain things you have to deal with yourself. Now, that does not mean, again, that you're not to enlist and bring in the help of others and get insight, and because it's much valuable insight that we need. Each had a clear role for the wall, or it wasn't going to go up. It's estimated that there was over 2 miles of walls that needed to go up or to be fixed. Nehemiah had broke it down into 40 sections, and he divided the workers into those 40 sections, and there they were to work on their section. 6 times we read through this chapter about building, which means to really rebuild, means to add on to. Other places, 35 times we read the word repair, or sometimes it is said rebuild as well, but it means to make stronger. Then we read 5 times about locks and bars and sockets and fittings and so forth, making it hard. That's how the doors were hung. So we're adding to the wall, making it go higher. We are strengthening other parts of the walls, shoring up, and then we're hanging the gates so that the gates are hung so that they can shut them at certain times and keep some people out, keep us in, keep us safe, but also fixing it where the people on the outside can't open the doors. They can only be open on the inside. You know, in every family, there are responsibilities. Each person in a household has certain responsibilities. You do this with your kids. You're responsible for doing this, this, and this. And you went back to check on them. That's kind of that delegating thing. So we all have different responsibilities in the household. When I meet with couples, particularly couples that are getting ready to get married, there's a few things I want to know. I want to know who's already doing certain responsibilities. Who lends themselves, who has a knack for certain things. I call it the money miser. Who's the person that's going to pay the bills? Who's the one that's going to watch over the money? Because if nobody's watching the money, you're in trouble quickly. And you know that as well as I do. But then there's also the cook, the planner, the organizer. There's all the person that has to have everything in the right place. They plan details out. There's all these things that go on in the household. So who does what? Now, what does all this have to do with rebuilding life? There are things that we need to build in life. Again, build up. And then there are things that we need to rebuild, meaning make stronger. There are things that we need to put in our lives that build the wall that helps bring protection to our lives. There are certain things that we need to build up in, meaning that it matures us. But then there's also some things that we need to rebuild in our lives, making it stronger. Things that we've kind of just forgotten about, some things that have fallen to the wayside. And then there are people that are going to help us do these things. See, now, all this comes to very good play, again, as we're maturing as believers, as we're maturing into responsible adults. But it also helps us when it comes to the spiritual battle. Because when the spiritual battle comes, if I'm weak spiritually, man, the enemy, he's just going to blow right over. He's just going to step over the walls and walk in. He's not even going to worry about whether the gates are up or not. He's going to just come right on in. So there's things that we need to do to be stronger. To be stronger as a person, to be stronger as a believer, to be stronger as a family, to be stronger as a church, to be stronger at work, at our job places. It all works together. Now, there are people that come into our lives, or God may even bring into our lives, that can help us to be stronger. In the book of James, we find that James writes and he tells us that we are to confess our sins one to another. Who in your life do you know or that you have that you can go and confess your sins to? I mean, you sit down and you tell them, here's the stuff that I've been doing that's wrong. Who is it that you have in your life that you confess to? Who knows you well enough that can hold you accountable for the things that you're doing or the things that you're not doing? We all need someone like this. We need someone that we can be completely honest with. I mean, completely transparent with. And they're not going to let us off the hook on things. They're not going to let us shirk our responsibilities. See, it's the only way that we're going to grow, and doing this is the only way we're going to mature. This is personal responsibility in discipling myself. Who's holding me accountable? Who do I confess to? Accountability is what I call preventive maintenance or preventive care. Again, these are the people or the person that comes into your life and they ask the hard questions. Again, they don't let you off the hook. And they're content sitting there in silence for a while until you come up with an answer sometimes. Several years ago, actually it's been a good while now, because it was actually shortly after we moved here to the area that Renee was in a coffee shop, a Starbucks coffee shop. And she overheard these guys talking immediately, and she knew it was a bunch of preachers. You know, she hangs out with one, so she knows kind of the jargon we use a lot. So, and she went over and introduced herself and kind of wanted to know where they were going, since we were just kind of new, look for some avenues that we might connect with some folks that were kind of in the same part of life. And discovered this guy that he actually works with pastors in helping them in encouragement, accountability, growth, and that sort of thing. And he does it with churches also. Well, she took his card, gave it to me. We talked on the phone a little bit, and it kind of just dropped it. Well, several years later, God throws this guy and I back together. And over the last probably 4 years anyway, maybe 5 years, we've been meeting together. He's kind of like a coach, mentor to me. He's one of those people that comes in and asks the hard questions. He knows me well enough by now that he knows when I have been avoiding something or when I am avoiding something. I'm trying to get not to deal with something. But again, working through those issues helps me to become better, helps me to become stronger, helps me to build up and grow in maturity as a person, but also as a believer. And again, all of us need someone like this. All of us need someone into our lives that's going to speak into our lives, ask the hard questions, hold us accountable so that we can build stronger and build more maturity, but also strengthen what we already have.
So what else is going on here besides just enlisting and delegating and getting folks to help? Well, rebuilders, we find in here, also give credit where credit is due. You might say they not only help us build, but then we also point out these are the people that helped us build, but then we also learn to say thank you. Would be a simpler way, I guess, to say that. 38 different individuals, 40-some plus family units or groups of people are mentioned here. That's a lot of people. That's a lot to have to work with. Go over to verse 5 of chapter 3. Verse 5, chapter 3. Next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord. Then in verse 27, after him, the Tekoites repaired another section opposite the great projecting tower as far as the wall of Ophel. There's a couple things going on here. Not everyone around you and not everyone you ask to get involved is really going to help. The nobles says, this is beneath us. We can't get our hands dirty. You know, this is not something for us to do. So they're going to refuse to help. There's some folks that you're going to ask to help. They're thinking they're helping, but they're really not helping. Again, we have people like that. We know who they are. See, the thing is, you're not going to ask people or invite people in to your inner person here that you know that might go up and gossip about what you're talking about. You're not going to want someone that's going to defy a trust. You don't need someone that's going to come in and be judgmental and be a critic all the time. Remember, we're here to build up and to make stronger, not to tear down. So you're not going to want somebody. You need somebody that's going to be trusted, be faithful, who's mature themselves to speak into your life. We all have had or had people around us that, again, just aren't helpful. Sometimes they think they're being helpful, but they're not. And see, the thing is, you typically know who they are. You know what they can do and what they can't do. And you base how you allow them into your life based upon those things. Notice a couple things in here too. There's 10 gates, two towers that have been mentioned. Some think that Nehemiah didn't do all the gates and so forth because there's some discrepancy in translations. But the big picture here is from verse 32, his record ends with the sheep gate. If you go back to verse 1, he began at the sheep gate. He went all the way around, all 2 miles plus, in rebuilding, building up, and strengthening the walls and hanging the gates. Wow. And here's that other side of that coin. You know, I said there's a couple things here about people that you invite in. Some people that you invite in, they're really going to help. And they may be some people that you didn't expect could help you. Those from Tekoa and Jericho, those folks came over 20 miles to the city to help build it and rebuild. Now think of this. These people, they didn't even live in the city. They didn't even live close to Jerusalem, yet they come in and help. See, there's people that God will bring into our lives for long periods of time or short periods of time that we may not even think why they're there. And yet God has brought them to help us to build in maturity, to build up, and to repair, and to build strong. In verse 13, notice, there's 1,000 cubits. That's about 1,500 feet. Or that's about 5 football fields in length. This is no small endeavor. He has men and women working together, building and rebuilding and hanging the gates. Now, again, one of the more surprising things here is throughout chapter 3, you don't really see Nehemiah's name. He really doesn't mention himself in this. It's not like he wasn't building. He didn't advocate. He didn't delegate all of his responsibilities away. Go over to chapter 4 pretty quickly. Go to chapter 4 and verse 21. And notice what it says. So we labored, we labored at the work, and half of them with the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at the time, let every man and his servants pass the night within the Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by the night and may labor by day. So neither I nor my brothers or my servants nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes, each kept his weapon and his at his right hand. Nehemiah was involved in what was going on. He didn't delegate all the responsibilities away. 19 times in these 32 verses, you'll read next to him, after him, next to him. See, there was a connection together. And Nehemiah was part of that. Now again, what does this mean for life and what does it mean for me? Well, we need people in our lives that don't necessarily or really don't tell us what to do, but help us to discover what it is that God wants to do. You don't need people in your life telling you, you need to do this or you need to become this. No, you need people in your life that's going to help you discover what God wants you to do and who God wants you to be. Because then you'll definitely be more mature. You'll be stronger in what you're doing. And then we need to learn to say thank you to those people, too, that come into our lives. That's kind of what I think Nehemiah is doing through this. He's mentioning all these names. These are the people that were important to me. These are the people that helped building. I think he reestablishes to us as well that we were not meant to live life alone. We're certainly not meant to live the Christian life alone. God instructed us to make disciples. I'm a disciple. So that means someone has to be discipling me. There's that accountability, self-discipleship thing. Someone needs to be speaking into my life to help me to grow up, mature, build things stronger in my life. God has given us the Holy Spirit, has come upon us, and the Holy Spirit comforts us and guides us and teaches us, again, to become more mature, to build up, to become stronger. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts and He knits us together as a body. So we're interdependent upon each other to carry out the task that God has called us to do. He's brought us together to build each other, to build the kingdom of God. We have to have one another. Otherwise, we can't, certainly you're not going to build church, certainly not going to build a community. And you're not going to build your own life if you're trying to do it yourself. We've all read about geese and how they fly in a V formation. They do that for aerodynamic measures. It said that geese in formation can fly three times further than when a goose is flying alone. Think through that for a minute. Wow. You know, the idea here is that we get in formation, we follow the leader, we do our task, and we can get to our accomplished goal much quicker and with a lot more at ease, with a lot less trouble if we're doing it together. Now, there's another thing about that formation, that when a goose falls out of formation, he immediately begins to meet resistance. So when we begin to go against where we're headed, we get resistance. When we go against the leader, there's that leadership principle thing. When we go against leadership, we immediately get resistance. And then we struggle on our own. There's a really a unique thing part about those geese that fly in that formation as well. It's said that if one gets hurt or sick and has to drop out, two others will go out with them. And they'll stay with that one that's wounded or sick until they are healed or they die. That's pretty amazing. How much more effective in our jobs? How much more effective would we be in the church? How much more effective would we be at home? How much more effective would we be in our very own lives if we stuck together like the geese did? Like Nehemiah put these folks together to build and rebuild, to build up and become stronger in life. How much better would we be if we worked like that together? Wow. Maybe you've seen some area in your life
that needs some building, adding on to, or maybe strengthening, shoring up. Could you write that thing out in a sentence, just a short sentence? I need this, I'll do this. This needs to be made stronger. I need to begin. I need to stop. You know, sometimes it's about stopping some things. Can you write that down in a sentence? Then could you begin to brainstorm things that need to be done and begin then to look, who might God have that could speak to this in my life? For a little while or for a long while? Who's around? See, when we begin to think of life like this, when we begin to see that there are things in my life that need to be built or added on to, there needs to be some things in my life that need to be strengthened, then we begin to realize, hey, it's never too late to rebuild. Because God still wants to work in and through me. It begins in knowing God through His Son, Jesus. That's where the power comes. Once we believe through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and the Spirit of God comes upon us, there's the power. There's the connection. See, God brings in the power of His Spirit to help us, to strengthen us thematically, and then He unites us together into the life of the church. And there again, we're working together to add on and to rebuild, to strengthen in our lives. The question is, when do we start? When do you start? Is there a place in your life that needs to be added on to, needs to be strengthened? Who is it that God's going to use to hold you accountable, to encourage you along the way, but also ask the hard questions about life? Will you take the step of faith with God and start the building, rebuilding process? Let's pray together. God, we thank you. God, I thank you for Nehemiah and all those people he mentions in this chapter, especially the ones I have a hard time saying. God, they were important people. They were people that you brought around into Nehemiah's scope of life, at least for a short time, to help to build and rebuild. God, I pray you help us. Help us to see the people that you're going to bring into our life. It's going to help us to build and rebuild. Help us to add on. Help us to shore up, to be stronger. God, there's people that we need to enlist, and there's people that we need to delegate some things to that we just can't do ourselves. And then, God, there's the time to say thank you. There's the time to lean upon them heavily and trust them to work and follow. God, first I pray that those that need to follow you need to trust in you. That's where it all begins. That they trust you with their life today and their life in eternity because of what Jesus did on the cross. And then, God, I pray for those that need to trust you in the step of faith again to building, growing up, and making stronger life, parts of lives. Again, it starts, God, both places start with taking a step of faith with you. So God, I pray that right now, particularly as we sing, you help us to take that step of faith and rebuild. Draw us to you, God. And we pray this in Jesus' name and amen. Let's stand together. You come. Come to God as He's leading you, calling you to Himself.